Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you all for being here. I'm Polly Lawson. I'm the Director of Career Services. And I want to thank especially McGuire Woods for coming here to give this presentation. And I will introduce each of the panelists. This is Douglas Smith. Doug is a current 3L, right?
That's right.
And is a 1987 graduate of UVA, where he majored in biology. Received his master's in administration of justice and forensic science at VCU in 1989. Upon completing his master's degree, Doug worked in various positions at the state and local government level, including stints as the safety and security manager for the Danville Redevelopment and Housing Authority, and as program resource coordinator for Governor Gilmore's new partnership commission for community safety. In 2003, Doug enrolled at the University of Richmond School of Law and transferred here after his first year. Joseph Reed. Joe is a partner in the Complex Product Liability and Mass Tort Litigation Department in the Richmond office.
It's a mouthful.
It is. He received his BA with distinction from University of Virginia in 89, then returned to the university to obtain his master's degree and law degree, reaching that goal in 93. Mr. Reed currently serves as the head of the firm's automotive and recreational products practice area and is also a member of the firm's recruiting committee. He participated in the firm's summer associate program between his second and third year of law. Christina Jones. Chris is an associate in the Complex Products Liability and Mass Tort Litigation Department in the Richmond office. She received her BA with distinction from UVA in 1999 and her JD from the university in 2004. During law school, Ms. Jones was active in many groups, including Virginia Law Review and the Dillard Program. Ms. Jones serves as host associates to one of our summer associates. She's participated in three firms' summer associate programs and participated in McGuire Woods program between her second and third year of law school. And Ann McGee and Linda Hardreport, who are with the recruiting department at McGuire Woods. So I'll let you.
Sure. Well, welcome, everybody. What we'd like to do today is have just a very open discussion about both the summer associate process and the interview process. And you all, you know, chime in whenever you want. We'd like to have a real free discussion about this. We've also got Katie DeLuca and Bill Sanderson here who are joining us in the fall. So you two tell us where we're wrong about everything that we say about being a summer associate or about interviewing. And then when we get done, and we'll probably go for an hour or so or until everybody gets tired, I really would encourage you all to come join us at the reception, which is going to be at our Charlottesville office downtown. Even if you didn't respond that you were coming, please join us. Very, very casual. We'll have several of the lawyers from our Charlottesville office and some lawyers from our Richmond office there as well. So it'd be a good opportunity to sort of mingle and have free food and drink.
Hey, Joe, we also have Eli, who was in our Tyson's office.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Jen.
And Jen will be with us this summer. What we had done, we sort of abandoned the real mechanical format for this, and between the three of us just came up with a list of do's and don'ts. And these are just things that we've kind of picked up over the years of what, you know, we think from the perspective of firm lawyers and members of the recruiting committee and young lawyers and soon-to-be lawyers in the firm are important things for you all to consider. And starting off with the summer associate process, and then we'll talk a little bit about interviews as well, to the extent we have time. You know, one thing that is a little bit challenging when you come in is, particularly to a large firm, and many of you will be at large firms, is getting to know lawyers in the firm. But it should be, you know, one of your highest priorities to get to know the lawyers in the firm, either through the social events that the recruiting staff and recruiting committee organize, through your work assignments, obviously, or, you know, something as simple as going down the hall and introducing yourself to folks. I mean, the challenge is, and I know lawyers at our firm get very excited about summer associates coming in for a number of reasons. You know, we're all busy, and it's difficult sometimes to carve out time to go and meet folks yourself. So, you know, I would encourage you to to take the initiative, and particularly in an area where you think you might want to practice, to introduce yourself or ask your host associate, whoever is assigned to shepherd you through the process from the standpoint of meeting people, to introduce you or to arrange lunch meetings, and make sure you get that face-to-face contact, because that really is the only way that you're going to understand what a law firm is all about and what those folks are about.
And that's especially important because at the end of the summer, you know, you may be looking for or hoping to get an offer to come back or to work in a department where you hope that you've met most of the lawyers in that department, and you want at the end of the summer those lawyers, even those who have not necessarily given you assignments, to be in a position to sort of vouch for you and have something substantive to say when they're deciding who would be the best fit for that department and that firm. So like Joe said, it's everything from seeking out proactively to have lunch with folks, ask them about their day-to-day jobs within the firm, particularly within that practice area, what the practice area is like, strategic growth areas within the practice area, anything that shows that you have an interest and helps you get to know the attorneys in the firm.
I would echo to that, and I would just say that I think to the extent that you know the area of law that you're interested in practicing, or generally where you're interested in practicing, that you follow that advice, make yourself known to the folks in that practice group. And it's also important because there may be, you know, and I don't want to give the impression that there's, you know, competition amongst the summer associates, but there may be only limited number of spaces within a particular practice group. And to the extent you can make yourself known to the attorneys in that practice group, it may give you an edge, so to speak, when it comes time to joining the firm, if you decide to join the firm in the fall, or at least it helps the firm determine, well, you know, who showed the most interest in this particular practice area, we should give that person, you know, the utmost consideration for that group.
And, you know, the other thing, or the stepping off point for what Chris and Doug was saying, is in addition to getting to know the lawyers of the firm generally, and different firms operate differently, but in large firms, you are going to join a particular department or a particular team or a particular group of lawyers if you're made an offer for permanent employment and you accept it. So it's very important, and it's particularly important at our firm to get to know the lawyers in your preferred practice areas well. I mean, get to know as many people as you can throughout the firm, but at the end of the day, at the end of the summer, you're going to be asked, what are your priorities in terms of practice area? Where would you like to be? What do you think the best fit is for you? And, you know, we've had experiences where at the end of the summer, a lawyer says, well, I'd like to be in the labor group first and foremost, and then the environmental group. And you know, the lawyers in that group who have input into who is going to be hired into that group, or how many lawyers are going to be hired into that group, don't know the person, or the right people don't know the person. I mean, if you leave the summer program and you say you want to be in the labor group and you haven't had lunch with the labor group leader, something's wrong. I mean, you need to make those connections with particularly with those groups that you're interested in, starting at the top. And, you know, that's not to say that you just walk into the labor group leader's office and say, hey, I'm Chris Jones.
Don't do that.
You know, use the recruiting staff, use your host associate, use your supervising partner, and go at it that route. But make sure you meet those folks and meet the younger folks in that department, because they're going to give you the best insight as to what your life is going to be like as a new associate.
I think, too, just to dovetail with what Joe is saying, you don't want to walk in and create a lunch for yourself necessarily in that context. But by the same token, don't pass up an opportunity, because especially at larger firms, folks are kind of busy. Don't pass up an opportunity in an elevator or at the coffee machine or the snack bar, what have you, to get to know the folks around you and to engage them in some conversation, let them know who you are. If you're interested in doing projects within that department and you're chatting with them, let that be known, and it may very well turn into a project or something for you to participate on, or they may talk to you about an opportunity that's coming up. So don't be afraid to be proactive in making those contacts on an informal basis, on a day-to-day basis as well.
And it's not, it's a real good idea if there's somebody in the firm that you either heard about in law school, or when you got to the firm, you said that person has a really interesting practice, or, you know, I'd really like to get to meet that person. You can use your contact points, or, you know, rather than just walking into somebody's office. I mean, nobody in the firm is going to say, I wouldn't like to sit down and talk to you if you send them an email and say, you know, I know you're doing this or you're doing that. I'm a summer associate from the University of Virginia. I'd love to sit down and talk to you about your practice whenever you have a chance. You will get a response from that, and you'll get a positive response from that. So those kinds of things I would encourage. Mm-hmm. The other thing, and this is kind of, I guess, the third leg of the stool, is to get to know your fellow summer associates. And again, different firms have different structures. Some firms have more of a first half, second half, a split of summer associates where you really have a new group coming in the second half of the summer. Our firm, although we do allow splits, everybody has to come at the beginning. We require the first half. And we have a number of summer associates who stay for the whole summer. And what we found, particularly since we went to that system, is that we have a pretty cohesive bunch of summer associates who get to know each other well during the summer, which is an important priority from a number of perspectives. One being, I mean, these are the men and women that you're going to practice with on a daily basis, and the new associate classes tend to stay together, play together, work together, all that sort of thing. So you really need to look around and say, because they're not all going to be from UVA. We'd like to have as many as possible from UVA. But, you know, you're going to have folks from a number of different backgrounds, and you really ought to look around and say, are these people that I would enjoy practicing law with? Because they're going to be, you know, every bit a part of a law firm as the attorneys who are already there.
I think Ann and Linda and our recruiting folks really do a good job, at least from the McGuire Woods standpoint, of offering some opportunities for summer associates to bond and mingle. I think we did a ropes course. Did you guys do that?
Yeah.
A high ropes challenge course, things like that that help you get to know.
Jen, you'll be doing it this year.
Oh, sorry. Did I let the cat out of the bag? Sorry.
No, it's not a surprise.
Okay. But each firm operates differently, and depending on the size of the firm, the size of your summer associate class may be 2-1 in some cases, or 50. And I've been through 3 programs of various sizes, ranging from 6 to 50 plus, and there are very different experiences based on that, which is something to take into account when you're looking at programs, obviously. But even if there are 50, do go out of your way to get a sense of the kind of people that the firm is attracting. That'll give you some idea of what the firm is like, but also it helps you develop contacts. I'm at the firms that I chose not to take job offers from, I'm still in contact with some of the folks that I went through summer programs with. So it's just another good opportunity to start networking and getting to know folks and getting a better sense of the firm.
One other thing, and this is sort of it's a do and it's a don't as well. The do part of it is, you know, please use the recruiting staff in particular, and we have a wonderful recruiting staff. Use them as a resource. I mean, they are really your number one contact point in terms of what am I supposed to be doing, what am I doing right, what am I doing wrong, how does this work. They're terrific for that. As I said, you're likely to have some sort of social type host who is a real resource as well in terms of getting to know the firm and the firm's greater community, And then you're likely going to have somebody who is on the recruiting committee who is going to be more of a source for substantive feedback on your work and trying to guide you towards a decision of, you know, what group or what practice area best works for you. So don't neglect those resources. The don't side of it is, you know, and I guess I can say this in broader terms, don't fail to treat every member of the firm in a very courteous, respectful, and professional manner. I'll be very honest with you, we have had a number of summer associates, not a number, we've had summer associate experiences over the years where because of their interactions with secretaries or with the recruiting staff or with others in the firm, it was clear that that person wasn't going to be a fit for us. I mean, you should treat everybody in a very professional manner as you would expect to be treated all the way up and down the line. So don't neglect those relationships over the course of the summer.
Yeah, there's probably no faster way to stand out in a negative way than to act inappropriately towards the support staff, because as you transition to life as a lawyer, you will quickly realize that they truly are the backbone of any firm, and that without their support, you will not get anything done. So definitely don't stand out. There are a lot of good ways to stand out, but that is one that I would not recommend to anybody. As far as resources within the firm, certainly the recruiting committee, and in every program I went through, there was also someone that you were paired with who was a young associate, who was supposed to be your unvarnished, gloves off resource, close the door, tell them what's going on, share your concerns, ask questions you thought were way too stupid to ask, and I certainly benefited tremendously from doing that repeatedly everywhere I went, just about how do the day-to-day things work? You know, I've got this situation, I'm not sure how to deal with it, or I've been trying to set up a meeting with so-and-so and I haven't been able to do it, or I've got this research assignment, I've gone back to the partner and I'm still not sure what I'm doing. What are your thoughts? And in every case, if they haven't known the answer, they've been able to refer me to somebody who had the answer. So as much as your fellow summer associates can be a resource for you and the recruiting committee can be a resource for you, in almost every instance, there's a young associate who's either explicitly matched up with you or just nearby who is willing to help you make it a successful experience. Poor Doug had he drew the short straw, and I was his host associate last year. So he can give you the unvarnished opinion of how well that worked after this is over. But I, of course, think that it's a good program, and it's a really good resource for each of you. Those are the people that you should go to. You have each other if you're in a larger program, but those are really the people you should feel comfortable going to ask questions and to seek feedback or to just help understand issues that you're facing a little better as well.
Chris was a fine summer associate. I mean, a fine first-year rep for me. And she did a fine job. Helped me a lot with my writing. So I have nothing negative to say about Chris. But just to...
You have the job, too.
Yes, that's right.
Say,
that's right.
The offer.
Okay. So I can... Okay. Well, anyway.
You speak freely.
You know. But to get back to what you were saying earlier, Joe and Chris, about how to treat support staff and recruiting staff members. I mean, and this jumps a little bit ahead to the interview process, but it just illustrates how critical it is to be respectful and to treat people, you know, just to treat people with respect and dignity at all times. I mean, as if they were your own family members or your friends. I can think of a couple of incidents that I heard about that occurred during interviews, one in particular where, I don't know if this person was 1L or 2L, was interviewing with a firm. And typically, the way the interviews are set up, you have the recruiting person sitting outside of the door of the interview room. You'll see this in the fall. And they'll greet you as you approach, you know, as you come up, and you may have occasion to talk with them, you know, just about anything. And this particular recruiting person was, you know, asking some substantive questions about, you know, what the 1L or 2L was interested in doing at the firm. And this person proceeded to say, well, I'm going to save my questions for the lawyers in the room. You know, you don't want to do anything like that. I mean, it's just common sense. I mean, you know, you should engage the person as you would engage anyone else. And so I think that's very important. And, you know, doing something like that, you can best believe that that person is going to be right in the room after your interview saying no. You know, so it's just so critical to do that. And I also would agree with Chris that it's definitely critical to bounce things off of your host associate, speak candidly with that person, not be afraid to ask questions, because inevitably you will get that one assignment where you have no idea what you are doing. You know, you've been to Lexis, you've been to the library, you've been to Westlaw, and you can't find anything. You're afraid to go back to this partner and say, I have nothing, you know. So really use the host associate as a resource. Don't be afraid to ask lots of questions. Don't be afraid that your questions are dumb. You know, they're there for that, and it's definitely encouraged.
The only other thing that I would add is if for whatever reason that system isn't working for you, I mean, go to the recruiting staff and tell them. You know, we try really hard to pair folks up in a way that we think will work well for the summer, particularly with the host associates who are all first and second year associates. But, you know, you will have situations, because all of us are busy and because a lot of the young associates are busy, where, you know, your host associate may sort of, you feel like you disappear on you for a little while. If that happens, you know, your experience during the summer is important enough to go to the recruiting staff and say, you know, I haven't been able to get with my host associate. You're not telling stories on them, because that's a breakdown on our part if that's happening. And, you know, the host associate may be maybe reluctant to raise that themselves. So if you feel like you're not getting feedback from either your social host or you know, your supervising partner, then just let somebody know in an appropriate way.
Yeah, if you ever feel like you're without a resource that you need, chances are, whatever firm you're at, it's because you're not asking for it. And most firms view the summer associate program as an investment in getting to know you and helping you get to know the firm. So they owe you feedback, and they also owe you a true, hopefully true, look at what that firm is like. And you'll get a sense of what the firm is like by some of the things Doug talked about. How do people treat each other? How do you feel working in that environment? And how do the people around you seem to feel about working there? And that is a critical component, I know it was for me, in deciding where you want to be long term. You're going to be spending a lot of time with these folks, maybe as much time as you're spending with your family. So it's important that you observe the culture there and that you get a sense of it and you let them get a sense of you too. But to the extent you feel like you're without a resource, it's very likely because you haven't sought it out. So don't hesitate to let it be known that you need some resources, and almost every firm will make every effort to put you in touch with the right person who can help you out.
The other thing that you ought to seek out is opportunities to participate in hands-on type activities within whatever practice area you think you may be interested in. And, you know, we're talking about attending depositions or hearings or closings or, you know, all those tools of the trade that we have. And they, quite frankly, are some of the most interesting things that you will do as a summer associate. And, you know, our Ann and Linda do a great job of keeping track of those and soliciting the lawyers for opportunities to take summer associates along. You know, it can be a challenge. For example, you know, most of our litigation practice is national in nature, and you know, you're probably not going to fly to California with a lawyer to go attend a deposition, although we have done things like that in the past, where someone may have worked on a deal for a good part of the summer and the closing is in New York or Chicago or whatever, and the summer associate can go along for that. But you really ought to do that. You really ought to do that, because it gives you exposure to one of the most exciting areas of our practice as lawyers. Not that it's not a thrill to spend a few hours in the library, but you know, seek out those opportunities because you really will get a good idea of hands-on practice of law. What else? Other dues, real quickly. The way we phrased this was make your best impression in every item of your work product. And that may be sort of self-explanatory, but, you know, it is, and I have to say that I've experienced this over the years on occasion. You know, when you, and sometimes there's a little bit of a disconnect in terms of what exactly you're supposed to be doing on a particular assignment. Hopefully, if that happens, there's some communication back and forth. I'm not quite sure what you want, you know, follow up, that kind of thing. And lawyers are generally very, the lawyers are generally very willing to sit down and talk to you about that. But what doesn't really work is something that is half done or sloppily done. You know, that's a real negative. That is a real negative. And there may be circumstances where it's an absolute rush and the attorney says, it doesn't have to be neat, it doesn't have to be pretty, just get me the answer, get me the case, print it off, I'm on my way out the door. Great. But, you know, don't do memos that have typos in them. Don't do things that are sloppy. I mean, that is kind of a red flag. And just put your best foot forward in everything you do.
I will tell you, I will let a secret out about a trap. You will hear an attorney tell you, just get me a draft. Just get me a draft of something. That is code for, give me a finished work product, but sooner than you would otherwise. There is no such thing as a summer associate as a draft of something. So when you turn it in, even if you are facing a deadline that is impending and crushing down on you, the first thing to do is call and see if it was a real deadline, a hard deadline or a soft deadline if you absolutely have to. But secondarily, take 5 minutes, step back, quickly proof it, run spell check, have your secretary or support staff maybe quickly proof it for typos, because the 5 minutes that you will take to do that and the finished product that you will turn in will stay with you throughout the summer, and that 5 minutes will have been worth it. So don't fall into the get me a draft trap. Wherever you go, don't believe it. But I mean, it's true that they will sometimes say, hey, just print me out some cases or get me something, and that's fine. But even in that kind of context, take 5 minutes and shepherdize it and make sure you give them the key site or the shepherd's report with it. Take the time to make sure that what you're turning in is right and polished.
Or highlight it. I mean, you know, to do it, and that may be something that the lawyer's not even thinking of as they're running out the door. But it'd be, you know, you can anticipate what is needed and just present it in the most professional and user-friendly way that you can. Anything else?
I think I have much to add to that other than, you know, just, I mean, you know, it's echoing the same thing, you know, just making sure your work is neat, no spelling errors, you know, especially make sure that you have the name of the attorney that you're working with correct. You know, that's a big mistake, that, you know, using a nickname when you really shouldn't be using a nickname. And make sure that it's on time. That's key. You know, I think that you were getting ready to get into that next, but it's so critical to, you know, meet a deadline, and if you think you can't meet the deadline, to let the attorney, give the attorney enough lead time to you know, be able to make an adjustment. And inevitably, you're going to face that. I mean, the one thing you'll learn about the summer associate experience is that when you get an assignment that says 2 hours, it doesn't take you 2 hours. It takes you 6, 7, 8, you know. I mean, it, you know, and this is not a criticism.
But the clients say the same thing.
Right. I mean, you know.
You said it was going to take 2 hours.
I mean, you know, these are attorneys that have been working 5, 6, 7, 10, however many years that have, you know, a lot more experience you know, at researching and do it probably a lot more efficiently than you can, and know the area of the law that you're working in better than you. And so they might be able to do it in 2 hours, but trust me when I say, you know, you will run into a lot of assignments that take you a lot longer. And you shouldn't be discouraged by that. It's just part of the experience. But regardless, if it says 4 hours and you're running up on that four-hour deadline, make sure you call and say, you know, can I meet with you? Here's what I've been able to find so far. Do you want me to continue this work? And sometimes you learn that, well, you know, it's not really a hard and fast deadline. It's just, well, you know, just take your time. You can get it to me at the end of the week or something like that. But don't let the deadline pass thinking, oh, well, you know, it's no big deal. You know.
Yeah, that I mean, that's another thing. And really what I think Doug is getting at is you're going to be faced with those demands from your clients and from your fellow attorneys when you start practicing, and you got to start acting that way as a summer associate. And you know, if you have a standing meeting with your supervisor at 10 o'clock on Tuesday, you be there at 10 o'clock on Tuesday, or call them and say, you know, I'm not going to be there. It is, in all likelihood, not a big deal if for whatever reason you can't be there at 10 o'clock on Tuesday. But, and different people react differently to it, but you know, you don't miss meetings, don't fail to meet deadlines without talking to somebody about it.
Probably the bulk of a lot of what I do as a young associate is expectation management. In a lot of what I do, both from within the firm and outside the firm, is when I see something on the horizon, I try to let it be known. If it's going to be a conflict, if it's going to be a time constraint, if it's going to be an issue, I try to be proactive and let it be known as far out in advance as possible. And there are times when things aren't flexible and you just need to make it work. But the more you can let folks know what's coming or what changes you think you might need to foresee, the better off everyone will be. And the better off if they've let you have a project for 2 weeks and they're expecting it on Tuesday, and you wait till Monday night to say, oh, can I get it to you Friday? Because the expectation was all along, no, I need it Tuesday. Sometimes that impression is much more lasting than it would have been if you'd made that forecast a little bit further out. That may be beating a dead horse, but.
One last thing, and then maybe we'll see if anybody has any questions about the summer associate process. One thing that I know is maybe in a lot of your minds, and which comes up a lot in questions to the recruiting staff and so forth, is, you know, how do you strike that balance between work and everything else you're supposed to be doing as a summer associate, which includes you know, the social activities that you have, getting to know, you know, sort of the greater firm community, the city where you're living, particularly if you're not familiar with it. You can't answer that question very easily, other than to say, in the general sense, you ought to consider all of those things, and you need to strike a balance between work and those non-work priorities that are part of your summer associate experience. And I think, you know, the balance kind of shifts over time. When I was a summer associate in the early 1990s. And you know, it's different in different cities too. The balance was probably shifted a little bit more towards the social side of things. I mean, you know, the summer associate experience, where it really wasn't all that important that you did a lot of substantive work. I mean, that truly was the norm at some firms. It really wasn't at McGuire Woods. I think we've always kind of had a good balance there. I'd say it's, you know, people are really very focused now on the substantive work product, and that's a very important part of what you do. You need to be watching closely to make sure you've done enough substantive work, that you've done a good job on what you've done, and that you've gotten a real exposure to your practice area. But you don't want to do that to the exclusion of some of these other things. And you know, when the recruiting staff, when Ann gets questions of, do I need to go to this social event? You know, it's an opportunity for you to get to know people. It's one of the best opportunities you have to get to know people. And Not everything is going to be your cup of tea. I'm very glad they didn't have the ropes course. I'm just kidding.
Fun.
It is fun.
But,
you know, you need to do those things. You need to do those things. And you need to get that exposure to the firm and let the firm get that exposure to you by participating in those things, as well as just getting out in the community and, you know, going around and looking at houses, knowing neighborhoods and various cultural opportunities and so forth. That's a very important part of the process.
I guess one thing to add, and I may be jumping ahead, but you should not go in feeling like it's the 80s and the firm owes you something, and aren't they glad you're there? They are incredibly glad you're there, but you're also there to do two things. One, to do some substantive work product, and a lot of firms, especially McGuire Woods, you will be given an opportunity to do meaningful work product. It is not generally make work. At a firm that has a lot of work to do, they are giving you something because it needs to get done, because they need the answer, because they need assistance on a project. So it's important that you do it right and do it well. But the flip side of that is the firm does owe you something. And I think part of what they owe you is, in addition to an honest look at what it's like and opportunities to get to know the firm, I'm a huge feedback person. And one of the most important things to me as a summer associate and as an associate and as an attorney is trying to become a better attorney. And as shocking as this is, when I graduated from law school, the biggest realization was I knew no law. Maybe even after the bar exam, you realize that in the everyday, day-to-day practice, you have so much to learn. And part of what the firm can do, what a summer associate program can do, is help you become a better attorney. And that comes in the form of formal and informal feedback on your writing, on your research, on your general approach to things. So do not ever hesitate to seek feedback from your host associate, from an assigning partner, from other folks. If you've turned in a product and you've gotten some feedback that you had some questions on, do not ever hesitate to go back to the assigning attorney and ask some follow-up questions. Ask if you can follow up on something, if he felt like there were some holes that you left or something like that. Be proactive in seeking out that feedback and understanding how you can improve consistently. I think that does two things. It shows that you're interested and that you're actually there for a purpose, but it also shows that you understand that you can accept some constructive feedback, good or bad, and make some changes and make some improvements. And it'll help you feel more invested. I know it helps me feel more invested in the work I do if I feel like I'm getting some feedback and I know next time what works or what will work even better. So don't feel like that the firm doesn't owe you that. If you feel like you're not getting it, then you definitely should make that known to the recruiting committee or your host associate, and you can definitely feel free to follow up. Most of the assigning attorneys are very busy. Joe in particular, and all kinds of different attorneys, are extremely busy. So their time obviously is very valuable, but there's no better investment for partners in the firm or associates in the firm than in folks who are coming behind them and are going to help them do the support work. So everybody has an incentive in making sure you get the feedback that you need and deserve out of the program.
You know, we, in particular, I mean, and I guess this is a good way to sort of just sum it up. You know, you ought to, one thing you shouldn't do as a summer associate is look at your firm as a short-term investment. If you're looking at the firm as a short-term investment, you're probably looking in the wrong place. We certainly look at it that way as a law firm. I mean, associates decide to do different things for a number of different reasons, and not everybody is going to be at the firm for the long haul. But when we look at people, when we consider people in the interview process and during the summer clerkship process, we're looking at them from the standpoint of, is this individual a long-term interest of the firm? Are they somebody who is consistent with our long-term interests, and do we think that they would have a place here for a long time? And as summer associates, you ought to look at that as well. I mean, is this a place where I would be comfortable practicing for the long term? You know, with that said, and whether, you know, the balance has shifted between social and substantive work over the years. Being a summer associate is arguably the best job you will ever have.
It's a good gig.
It is a good gig, a really good gig. Does anybody have any questions? I mean, just anything about the process?
When you talk about getting to know partners and other associates, going out to lunch with them, are you better by sending an email or by talking to the recruiting coordinator for everyone you want to talk to, and how often should you be doing that? Is that something that you should make a habit of doing every Friday, or is that something that you want to talk to two or three partners through the course of the summer?
Some of that is firm dependent, and I'll tell you the way we do it, which I think works pretty well. We encourage the lawyers to take summer associates out to lunch, to go to lunch with summer associates. And, you know, sometimes it's Dutch, and sometimes it just depends. You know, the lawyer's taking you out for lunch. Almost every day you're there, and you're going to be there for a fairly short period of time. You ought to be doing something during the lunch hour, unless there is some pressing assignment where you're not going out for an extended lunch. You're either going out with your host associate, you're going out with your supervising associate, you're going out with somebody else, or what we do a lot is we have an attorney dining room upstairs. This is in our Richmond office, and the summer associates go up there a lot with each other, which is a great opportunity to kind of mingle with each other, talk about what's going on, talk badly about all of us, and you know, it's that kind of social aspect of things that you ought not to be neglecting. But you know, in terms of what we were talking about before with getting to know people, once you've kind of winnowed things down to these are the areas I'm interested in, you really ought to be looking at who are the key people that I ought to be talking to. And whether that's going to lunch or sitting down and talking about their practice, you want to meet the practice group leader, you want to meet team leaders and partners in those areas that you're interested in. You want to get to know some of the younger associates in that group. So that's probably not a very precise way to answer your question, but you ought to include going to lunch with those folks, which is set up, you know, either through the recruiting coordinator or through your host associate, or just sending them an email. Include that as part of the process. Sure.
With regard to practice areas, as far as a summer associate or interviewing for a position as a summer associate, how much of an idea should we have with regard to the practice area that we're interested in? Are we naive to have a focus on one practice area as we interview, or?
Here's what we wrote down. The three of us wrote down. I'll tell you, this is verbatim. Don't feel like you need to know exactly what you want to do within a firm during the interview process or at the outset of the summer associate process, or focus just exclusively on one practice area. Next thing, don't fail to figure that out by the time you leave. and again, people approach it differently. When I was here, and even before I came to school here, I said I want to litigate. I mean, I want to be in the courtroom. I want to be a trial lawyer. That's what I want to do. Did I know exactly why that was? Probably not. As it turns out, it is what I very much enjoy doing, and I can't really imagine doing anything differently. On the other extreme, you know, we don't discount somebody sitting in an interview room here or showing up on our doorstep at the beginning of the summer saying, I really don't know. I mean, I've never worked in a law firm before. This was interesting to me. This class was interesting to me. Maybe that's something that I would like to pursue, but I'm just not sure. I mean, from the recruiting standpoint, we don't discount that or give you black marks for that at all, because that is to be expected. And some people are that way, and some people are the other way, and some people are somewhere in the middle. But you can't not, you can't go through a summer program and on your way out, when Ann says, okay, and this is the way we do it exactly, we say, you know, what are your three choices in order of priority in terms of practice group? 1, 2, 3. And, you know, if you've got the empty bubble over your head at that point, that's a problem. That's a problem. You need to figure that out as it goes along. And a lot of people start off saying, this is absolutely what I want to do, and they end up at the end of the day saying, I'm going in a different direction. I'm going in a different direction. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, your first summer in particular, it's you have, if assuming you don't come with any kind of legal background, you haven't worked in a firm before, you may well have no idea, even if you want to do litigation, corporate work, and that's okay. And it's okay to let that be known that you have wide, you might pitch that as wide and varied interests that you're interested in exploring a bit further. But something to consider when you're choosing among, everybody at this school is very fortunate to have countless firms coming to interview and seek them out with a whole variety of different kinds of summer programs. But something to consider very carefully is, if you don't have a good sense of what you want to do, how is the summer program structured? A lot of different programs have very different ways of approaching a summer program. I came through a program where you were placed into a department for 2-week rotations. If you're splitting with a summer, that may mean that you go through only 2 or 3 departments at most during the course of an entire summer. So your choice at the outset is make or break. You may get there and spend, let's say, 2 or 3 days in the labor and employment section and realize that's not the kind of work you want to do, but you're there for 2 weeks, which may or may not be a good fit for you. Other programs, McGuire Woods is an example, structure their programs very differently and make different assignments available, and you play a role in choosing the assignments you want. So you can start off taking assignments in areas even where you don't think you necessarily are interested. Tax, labor and employment, corporate, litigation, what have you, get a taste of that work without having to commit for half your summer, the full summer, or anything along those lines. So you should use the assignments to help you make that decision if you can, but also go into the interview process and be clear and ask how their summer program is structured. And if you decide, if it is in fact a rotational system, if it comes clear to you that that's not what you want to do, what are the mechanisms inside the firm for changing over? So that will help you maybe be a little bit more strategic when you're hopefully choosing between firms to spend the summer at.
Why don't we spend, unless we just want to go to the reception, let's spend 10 or 15 minutes talking about the interview process. We've talked a little bit about it. Maybe the thing to do, Chris, I mean, if you want to start off, what's the top 1 or 2 things that folks ought to focus in on the interview process? A do or a don't for the interview process?
I guess there are 2 sort of general approaches to interviewing. One is the shotgun approach, where you just plaster your resume out there and hope that somebody takes a nibble and you walk in and give it your best go. And then there's the rifle approach, where you make much more targeted advances on firms. And career services may have different advice for you. I certainly defer to them. I would recommend that you take more of a rifle approach, so that you are not dropping resumes with firms that you, in all likelihood, have neither an interest or a likelihood of working at. It's a waste of your time, it's a waste of their time, and you're going to get burned out on the interview process if you take too much of the shotgun approach. As a do know something about the firm before you go and sit down, and know something about the people who are going to be asking you questions. So know who is going to be interviewing you, what their general practice area is, and something about that firm, so that you can ask remotely intelligent questions when you sit down. It's very apparent if you are overly scripted when you sit down and you've come in already with a full list of questions that you're going to run through with every firm. That probably makes recruiters' eyes glaze over as fast as anything else. So make sure you're in the moment and engaged and listening. But at the same time, do have thought of some firm-specific questions that you have, as well as some general questions. That's a lot of information at one time. But, you know, don't look at it as a perfunctory process, because you all are very lucky to have a multitude of interviews, and they will all be in some respects similar, usually 20 minutes with one or two attorneys, and in that amount of time you don't have a lot of time to make a huge impression. So be careful with that time and use it to stand out from the other 50 people who are waiting in line behind you.
And just to play off that first point, and we get this, when you ask the question during an interview, where are you interviewing? And the list starts at Albuquerque and Atlanta and Boston, Charlotte, Denver, all the way down to Yuma, Arizona. For us, that's kind of a turnoff. I mean, because, and we have a very focused program. We try very hard to be selective in the interview process, and we have typically, the past several years, a very, very high ratio of people who accept and who ultimately accept permanent offers of employment. So we're not really looking for people who are on a flyer, you know, who are just doing this without a commitment to our firm and whatever city that they may be interviewing for. So, surely there are folks who are out there who don't know exactly where they want to be. Or maybe they're just committed to a certain region, but failing to demonstrate why you are interested in this firm, the reasons why you're interested in this firm, where we are, is that to me is one of the signature things that you've got to do during an interview, is show why you are interested in this particular firm.
And just to add, what I mentioned earlier about treating everyone associated with the firm with respect, because, you're not going to encounter the attorneys at the outset. You will encounter support staff and recruiting folks, and you need to engage them, with the same enthusiasm and respect as you would any attorney from the firm. In terms of practice areas, when I was interviewing, I had a pretty, I was pretty focused on what I wanted to do. And so it was important for me, in terms of researching firms, to find out whether or not they really were, at the forefront in the area of law in which I was interested in practicing, which was intellectual property. And whether or not the particular office that I was going to be working in, had a group that was working in that, because it may be the case that you interview with a firm that professes to have this, wonderful intellectual property group, but they're in New York and you're interviewing in Atlanta and they don't have it in Atlanta. So you need to make sure whether or not the office in which you want to work has the kind of work that you want to do. And also, what was important for me in terms of the interview process and also throughout the summer associate process was, again, connecting with those people in that group to find out what their needs would be for the upcoming year, for the next 5 years, because, if you have a strong interest in that group, you want to make sure that they have space for you. Because I distinctly remember going for an interview, and Katie was there. We were interviewing at another firm. And they said at the outset, we have absolutely no space in Wills and Trusts, so don't even try it. So, if you went in thinking, wow, yeah, they've got a great, trust and estates practice, and, it looks wonderful, and, I want to be there, and then you get there, and you're like, and it's completely shut off, you've wasted your time. So it's crucial to make sure, if you have a strong interest in a particular area, that, one, there are going to be opportunities for you to practice that in the particular office where you'll be working, and they might have space for you in the future.
The second point that Chris made about standing out in the interview, I've interviewed up here for probably 10 years now, and it is very tough on both sides, quite honestly. I mean, and I think the new system that the law school has gone to of having the interviews compressed into that period before classes start is ultimately, I mean, it's a good one, and I think it's that's a good change in terms of not spreading it out, not taking up students' classroom time and so forth. But you know, particularly with that system, I mean, when you've got four or five interviews a day, it's tough to stay on and to stay up for all of those. And it's difficult when you come for a callback at a firm and you've got six interviews in a row plus lunch to stay on your game and to keep from zoning out and to stay away from just the canned questions over and over, same questions to everybody. Everybody realizes that that's tough. It's tough from our standpoint when my partner Rob Tyler and I will be up here and we'll see 20 people in one day. I mean, that's tough because we've got to be very focused on, who are the standouts and who are our best prospects. That being said, you gotta distinguish yourself, and that doesn't mean you come in with a juggling act or whatever, but just be comfortable. And that's hard too, because it's a stressful process, particularly if interviews are tough for you. But be genuine, be honest, be comfortable, be engaging, ask questions that are really important to you, do your research on the firm, know a little bit about not only the firm but the people that you're interviewing with. Ask about particular practice areas, ask questions that are specific to the firm, and those are the ways that you're really gonna stand out at the end of the day.
You can also stand out by cursing up a blue streak, which I'll tell you about if you come to the reception. Not something you want to do. I'll tell you that story if you come to the reception.
What else? Anything else? Do's and don'ts for interviews?
I guess I just have one more quick thing, and sorry, I know you were asking him that, but when you come back for a callback, you should immediately have your radar on for all the things that we talked about during the summer program. You should have your radar on for how people treat each other as you're walking from interview to interview. Are attorneys screaming at secretaries? Are doors closed? Are people stopping and talking to each other? You will get a sense of that firm's environment while you're there interviewing, and don't pass that up as an opportunity to help you gauge what later life there would be like. So the callback is an important time for you to make some important observations about the day-to-day routine there at the firm.
Yeah, that's a real important point, not only for the interview process and the callback process, but also as a summer associate. When you look at the question of whether or not the firm is in your long-term interest, look at the way, not only the way the lawyers in the firm practice, but the way they live. I mean, and compare notes with folks in your class and other summer associates. I mean, is it an open door place? Is it a closed door place? Is it a suit, Mr. So and So on every door? Or is it people's names? What are their work habits? Are people going home for dinner? Are people working on the weekend? With the understanding that we all work hard, we all work very hard, and you shouldn't have any other expectation. But is it a place where the culture of the firm matches what you're looking for in a firm? Don't overlook those aspects of it, because if the culture of the firm doesn't match with what you're looking for, it's not going to be a long-term interest on either side.
And I can add to that, because Katie and I both are in the same situation. Katie and I are both married and both have children and both live outside of Charlottesville. And so we're both sensitive to, how firm life would impact us as parents, with kids. And so I know the both of us spent a lot of time investigating that and asking questions and seeing how lawyers live their lives, and you can glean a lot in the callback interviews and also in the interview process if you ask the right questions. sometimes the attorneys are not astute enough to hide exactly what life is like for them, and you can glean it out. And you know, I think that, you know, just as a plug for McGuire Woods, you know, I spent a lot of time talking with people and watching people and seeing people, you know, with families and how they made their lives work. And I was comfortable enough with what I saw to be able to say, I think this is the right place for me. And I would encourage you to do that. I mean, look, if you've got associates who shut the door in your call back and say, this place is horrible, run.
Tell their recruiting committee about it.
And they will do that. They will do that. I've had people say that, or had one guy's, you know, I asked him how his life was, you know, as an associate, and he was telling me about how he was afraid to get permission to go witness the birth of his first child. No way. I immediately, I didn't say anything, but I immediately said, well, I know I'm not going to be here. You know, and I know he didn't mean to come off that way, but, you know, if you ask the right questions, you can find out what's going on. And also, another important question, too, which was critical for me, was finding out the percentage of people that firms take from a summer associate class, because it's not always the case that everyone that comes on board as a summer associate is going to get hired. Not at every firm. I think that McGuire Woods and a few other firms make an effort to try to have a smaller summer class and put a lot of effort in, you know, at the front end to make sure that they get people that are really committed to the firm so they don't have to make cuts. But some larger firms will hire 50, 60, however many associates from one office, and they're really only going to make offers to a certain percentage. And so to the extent you're concerned about whether or not you're going to get an offer from a firm, you know, after you've put in that work, you should ask that question too and examine that.
That's a really good point. And I just want to say, having been through both types of programs, that's a very intelligent question to ask at the outset, but also that largely impacts the culture of your summer associate class. It can. If you're going through a very large program at another large Virginia firm, let's say, where lots of folks come in, but only half or so are going to get offers, the culture of the program and the investment necessarily that the firm will make in you during the summer is probably a little bit different than it might be at a firm where they're taking fewer people with the idea that they're going to invest time and feedback and resources into you with the hopes that nearly all of you will get offers.
Y'all have any other thoughts, Bill, Katie? Anybody have any questions about the interview process? I mean, I know this is one that having gone through it once, you got a little bit of feeling about it. But just from our perspective, how things work. Rob, anything else you can think of? Oh, go right ahead.
Yeah, I found that sort of the half hour, 20 minute period seems really short. You mentioned a couple tips to that. Is there any way to really get the most value out of that from our perspective?
It can feel short, or it can feel really long. you know, I have never been to an interview or a callback where one of the initial questions after a couple of minutes was, do you have any questions for me? And it will feel like an eternity very quickly if you don't have any questions or you're not engaged. A lot of them are similar at the outset, you know, what are you interested in doing, what kind of things are you involved in, but if you've done a little bit of background on the person that you're interviewing with in particular and on the firm, it will be much more natural. You'll have recognized some areas of interest to you that you have questions on, either for the attorney or for the firm. Or, you know, they may want to talk with you about something. I've had entire interviews where I've talked about nothing but fly fishing or skeet shooting, and those have been some of the best interviews. You know, and I have had substantive questions, and sometimes I've followed up with folks later and said, you know, I didn't get a chance to ask you this, but wanted to know some more about X. But don't be afraid to branch off into other areas that aren't typical interview areas, I guess.
Yeah, if you have a good conversation for 20 minutes about fly fishing, that person's not going to mind if you call them back with a substantive question down the road. You know, it's you kind of got to just go with the flow of it. I mean, the length of the interview is oftentimes set, and you want to go in there with an idea of things you want to get out of it, but you really got to kind of let it go in a way that's comfortable. One thing you don't want to do, I mean, don't, because you feel like I've got 20 minutes, don't take charge during the interview. I mean, that's really not the role of the interviewee to take charge in the interview. Don't come unprepared to answer questions about yourself. You're going to get the question, why are you interested in X firm? I mean, anticipate that and think about that and have an intelligent and responsive answer to that. And don't come, as we've said before, without questions about the firm, the practice, the lawyers, that sort of thing.
And don't be afraid if you've had the opportunity to talk to somebody who's been through the program or you know an attorney at the firm and that's one of the reasons you're there, don't be afraid to say, oh, I talked with Bill Sanderson. He had great things to say about your program. This is what we talked about. It'll show a couple things. One, that you did some homework and you actually know what you're talking about. But it also gives the interviewer an opportunity to talk to you about how you know him, the outside interests you have, things along those lines. So don't be afraid to show some of the homework that you did.
And that's another good point, maybe one we can close up with. I mean, the students in the law school here, and you know, University of Virginia is so privileged to place people in the best firms in the country. You know, they're going to be people in the law school community in all likelihood who have had an experience at, you know, one or more firms that you're interested in. And you really ought to use them as a resource, good or bad. I mean, they're going to say good things. We hope, you know, everybody here is a good investor for our firm. And historically, you know, that has been the case, that they're great at going out and identifying people that we ought to talk to, at talking up the firm in a positive way. Or, you may get the opposite result. But that's a tremendous resource going through the process, to the extent you know people, whether they were in your section, or you know, they know your section leader or whatever, and go to those people, because the folks, I mean, you're going to get a perspective from lawyers in the firm, but you really ought to seek out that perspective of others from your vantage point who've been through the process. Anything else you can think of, Rob? It's Rob Tyler, partner in our firm in Richmond.
Know yourself. Know what you're interested in, where you want to be, what you're looking for. Be yourself. Just be comfortable. In the interviewing process, in the summer associate program, wherever, just be yourself. Limit yourself. Don't overdrink. Don't overeat. Don't over anything. And trust yourself. You have the tools to be successful. It's just the process of meeting people. You are going to be a success, and the job search is going to work out for you, whether it's one firm or another. Just trust in yourself. You've already made it this far. You're going to get the rest of the way. Relax and enjoy it. That's the best thing I can throw out.
Well, on the subject of eating and drinking, really, if you all have the time, we would love to have each and every one of you join us at the reception. I think there's some directions, if you're unfamiliar with where our office is. It's right downtown off of the downtown mall. And we will congregate there in, you know, 15 minutes or so. And thank you all for coming.
Feel free to come up if you have questions you didn't get to ask.